Maybe now's a good
Which
time
is
to
a good
talk. It's a great segue.
segue.
We would like to also spend some time talking about the CYA conference. So can you tell us what the CYA conference is, and maybe just a bit of a history as to how it started and how it's evolved to where it is
All
today?
right, so CYA is Children, Young Adult Writers and Illustrators Conference. So it began in 2005. I got my first kids book published, and we actually, it was just so darn hard. People at that time, we had a Yahoo group. I mean, do you remember Yahoo when we were dial up? So it was so hard to get anybody to talk about being published. They would always, like, you would go to a reading or something, and it was always the author would stand up there and read, but they wouldn't tell you the technicalities behind it. So the romance writers had this amazing conference that they were already running, and I went, well, we should have something like that. So there was three of us online. So there was a Sharon, oh, she's changed her name, Sharon Norris, but she's no longer Sharon Norris, and I can't remember what she's got married, sorry. And so Sharon Norris, Di Bates, and myself, we went, okay, let's do this conference, let's make it easier, let's get the editors and the people together, make it like a, you know, like a professional development, so that you can improve your writing and get contracts out of it, make it the networking event that, you know, that for children's writers. And then by the time I got it through with Brisbane Writers Festival, and we were already in negotiations with them, both Sharon and Di had got sick and pulled out. So I was left with this baby, and I went, I've taken this too far to actually not do anything with it. So then Brisbane Writers Festival said to us, yes, we could be an umbrella event, but I had to take full financial responsibility of it. So I spoke to my husband and went, well, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, this is my figures. I did have an accounting background at some stage, and, you know, put it all together. And he went, honey, if that's what we want to do, let's do it. Let's go with it. So I then landed with this conference, and took it further, and became part of the Brisbane Writers Festival as an umbrella event for 5 years, and started, you know, and it started small, obviously. The very first year, we had 26 people who actually paid to sit on seats, and we had probably about 50 people there, but the others just walked in and didn't pay. And there was a lot of logistics that we had to learn. And yeah, and then the second year, it was in a better location, and it was, you know, more controlled, and we'd learned a lot by then. And so yeah, so 2007, eight, by 2008, it had paid its, you know, big debt off that from originally, and it's just sort of like self-sustaining since then, which is really good. And I just, it was, it still is just a networking event, and it's a craft event. It's for writers and illustrators of all genres to learn their craft and to learn about the business of writing. You get so many people who, you know, they just don't realize that there's an actual process behind writing a book. They write a book and they think, yep, this is it, I'm going to send it to the publisher. And, you know, that they'll send their children's book to, like, Harlequin Mills and Boon. It's like they don't even publish children's books, you know. So it's the whole knowing you know, knowing where you are and stuff, and the whole networking. So getting the editors together with the agents, getting the authors, and getting everybody to mix together and to actually make the contacts and start making books happen. That's basically it in a nutshell. 20 years, well, we're 19 years later this year, 19 years later, we're still doing that. We just, you know, have we moved online when it was in COVID, and then so many people just didn't want us to go back to just being in person, and so many people in person didn't want us to just, you know, they wanted us back in person. So we just do a hybrid event now, and hopefully please everybody, and be able to reach everybody who needs the help and needs the craft work and the business of writing and learning about And
writing.
what sort of numbers do you get in the conference?
So before COVID, our biggest conference was 250 people on
Cool.
site. So but yes, during conference, I mean during COVID, we had over 300 people, because we had a lot of internationals also joining.
Yeah.
The internationals are still joining, which is quite incredible. So we normally look at about 200 people now. You know, if it goes above that, we're always really happy. But yeah, so on site last year, we had
85, I think, which lots of people were going, oh, they weren't sure, because, coming out of COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this year, hopefully, we'll get about 100 people on site for
So
this
like with
room.
a lot of online events, did the need to go online because of COVID, was that the catalyst for you to start
That
looking
was
for hybrid conferences?
absolutely. So the catalyst to go online was COVID. So the minute COVID shut down and everything, everybody, it was like already, it was February and they were all talking about it. And we were one of the first conferences to go, don't worry, guys, we're going to go online. And then what we did is everybody who had already paid for conference and had paid the price of being an in-person, we made it cheaper because it's a lot cheaper to run online.
Yeah.
And we gave all these credits back to everybody so that everybody got their money back, because it's not fair to charge what it doesn't cost. And then so we did that for COVID, and then after COVID, now it's a hybrid. It's just both.
And you started as the conference was CYA Children and Young Adult, and you've now
Yes,
extended into
it's
adult
adult.
writing. So at what point did that happen, and what was the reasons to
Just
sort of
on
broaden it?
COVID. Just I think we had
Bloody
one year before.
COVID.
Yeah, I think we had like 1 year before COVID, and then COVID happened, and that was as far as it got. And even then, it was like there was very minimal adults at that moment, coming in. So the adult portion of it has taken a while to get moving. It actually started the same time that GenreCon started. So we had both obviously noticed that there was this gap in the market, and there we go. So it was interesting because it's grown slowly. The children aspect took a long time to grow, so I suspect the adult aspect of it will just take a little bit of time to grow as well. Hopefully not as long as the children's conference, but it took part of it. But
So can you explain, well, what is the current format now? Is it a hybrid where there are some elements are online, some are face to face, and it's not just on a particular weekend, it goes over a number of different
yep.
dates?
So now we have an in-person event on the 6th of July, but that is actually streamed out. So we have streaming on that day. So people who are having a hybrid an online event, so they get to watch that on the 6th of July, and then they get the 13th and 14th of July as well. People who are in person at that event, obviously, on the 6th of July, they get to come and see everybody on the 6th of July, and then they get the 13th and 14th online. So it's like a big hybrid event. So everybody gets 3 days of conference, just whether you have the first day in person or if you have it online is the difference. And then on the Sunday is the boot camps. So that's almost as big as the conference with the amount of editors that are there with their boot campers. So you get to spend a day with an editor. There's groups of 8 people who spend the day, and you have four, and then you they have work. They look at it beforehand. They give you feedback. You have time to then go and rewrite and make the changes that they have recommended, and then show it to them again, and they reread it, and they give you further feedback. So it's like this real amazing experience of, everything just, because to actually work with an editor like that is something that a lot of people don't get the experience to do. I wish they'd been around when I first got published, and, even when I did, my first couple of books, I wish that I had something like that. So,
Yeah.
absolutely.
So with your boot camps, that's in addition to the 3 dates of conference.
That's an addition. That's on the Sunday. So we had our online ones in March, so that people who wanted to do it online, they did them in March, and then we've got our in-person ones on the 7th of July.
And you said so it's a group of people where everyone gets to share each other's work and everyone critiques and supports each other.
They don't critique each other. Well, they don't normally. You can sort of critique it. Each of the editors run it their own way. So some of the editors say, oh, what's your feedback? But mostly they don't, because the people are there for the editor's feedback. So they want what the editor has to say. about their work, and they want to listen to what the editor has to say. They don't really want to listen to who, the person next to you, what has to say. Although sometimes you land up in an amazing group, like you'll like land up with a quite a couple of published people all together. And then often when that happens, then the editors will ask them, because then that's really good feedback. And then you'll have like or like you'll have one person who's not published with some published people, and then they'll sort of like, give them feedback as well. So it is really it's a very friendly sort of atmosphere as well. It's that you get to sort of speak with your group a lot, and there's a lot of writing groups that have come about because of it, like small writing groups doing amazing things together because they were in a boot camp together, and then they just carry on being that group and helping each other and going through.
So, who would you recommend attend the conference? Is it for all levels of writing experience, or is it?
All levels of writing, so anybody can attend. So like we have classes which are like for really beginners, and then we have classes which are, but the people who are running those classes also know that there are multi-published people in their class, so they try and like layer it so that people who are further along actually also get stuff out of it. And even if you are multi-published, it's always good to still listen to things, because sometimes you forget stuff, but you only take in stuff when you're in the right place to hear it. So you might have heard the right, the same thing a million times at every other conference, and it'll be at that one conference that you're at that you hear something, you go, oh my gosh, that is so relevant right now, and you take it in. So I would say, writers don't be lazy. It's always good to go and get professional development and always go to conferences and network and stuff. But yes, attending conferences like this. So everybody attends from just starting out to multi-published.
And there's also a really diverse list of editors and publishers and agents who people can have assessment sessions with. Can you tell us about those?
So the assessments are they started a while ago, but yes, assessments are when you get 15 minutes with an editor. So they pre-read your work. You get like, I think it's 2,000 words and a synopsis, or you get two picture books, and they pre-read your work, and then they give you one-on-one, all on Zoom, so that the time limit is well, there's no having to shake anybody's chair and say, get your bum out the chair. And then it all runs online, and they get their feedback. So 15 minutes feedback from the editor. Now, they're not a pitch. A pitch is when you actually say to somebody, oh, this is what I'm trying to sell you, where there is a pitch line in there, but the editors are not there to actually be pitched at. They're actually there to get you there to pick their brains and get what they think, whether your book's commercial, whether it's not commercial, whether you want to go like educational or where. So you choose whichever editor you want, and you might not even you might know that you're choosing like a HarperCollins editor, but you know that they don't like rhyming picture books. But that doesn't mean that they don't have skills in actually, doing the edit on a picture book that rhymes. So you are there for their skills. And it's so using their skills is what you're there for. So it's and then you get, now if they do like the book, then they obviously they're really excited when they see it, and then they tell you straight away that yeah, I like your book or whatever. Or they say, oh, I would like to see this fixed or that fixed, and then you can resend it to me, and that's when you know, oh, hang on, you're onto something special. So but yes, the 15 minutes and of pre-read stuff, it is really good.
Is a lot of that still though focused on the children's and picture books and things like that?
There are different editors, so we've got editors there who do the adult writing as well. So for one of the editors we have coming for adult for picture books, and he's, I mean, picture books for adult books, and he's also doing boot camp, is from Penguin Random House.
All
So
right.
Clive Hibbert from Penguin Random House is actually, so he's been doing it for a few years, and now he's actually coming to do a boot camp this year. So he'll do a boot camp, and he will be doing assessments. We have agents doing assessments. A lot of the agents you can't get in front of normally and stuff like that. So if you have an assessment with them and they really like you and they like your stuff, and you can pick up an agent. It's a networking. It's that whole big networking event that yep. it all goes round with the conference. Yep.
And you've also got guest speakers. I've got two questions about guest speakers. So for your conference coming up in July, how do you go about securing guest speakers? Do you have certain guest speakers involved in terms of what topics you want to cover? Is there a particular theme each year for you? So you're handpicking speakers that are going to cover off on certain topics. How does that work with the guest speakers?
So I normally start off with going, okay, who's going to attract people? Because I have to attract people, because if you don't have people there, you know, the guest speakers are speaking to nobody. So I do have to sort of like balance it with some big names and then some, you know, going with. But a lot of it is also what is relevant right now. And for the business side of it, like, you know, like last year we did a lot of Facebook adverts, and, you know, this year we're doing Amazon adverts. So it's so doing it on the business side, but this so that, like, obviously is different speakers do different things. Finding speakers who can speak across the from the children's books all the way through to the adult books is actually quite difficult. So I might like really love a speaker and go, you know, this is what I want, this is, and can you do this? And they go, oh no, I'm not happy, I can't do that. It's like, well, thank you very much, but, or, you know, so there's a lot of negotiation goes into who we actually get as a speaker. I also have a very different thing on with all my speakers, that they have to actually have a tangible outcome from the workshop that they do. Like, what they have to be able to tell me in words what is the writer or the illustrator going to take home from your workshop. So what is the tangible thing that they're going to actually take home? Because you get a lot of speakers who get up and they speak about how wonderful they are, and that's not what SEA is about. SEA is not about, we know that they're wonderful, they're published, they've got books on the shelf, we know they're wonderful. We want to know behind the scene, how do they make that wonderful? What is the process of making those books? And what is the process of editing? And what is the process of, you know, getting the book up to whatever, you know, however, and learning all the craft behind it and then getting it on the shelf. So, yeah, we've had, you know, we always try and encourage our speakers to speak about something that they're very passionate about, because only when you get somebody speaking about something that they really love, then they're going to give a great lecture. So they've got a lot of leeway as to what they're going to talk about, but they have to always come back and say, right, this is what I'm doing, and this is. So I do have ideas I throw at them. I go, I would like you to present on this or this or this. And they go, oh, I'm really, you know, I really love this idea. And they come back to that.
Were you angling for a speaker's gig there, Jack?
No, I wasn't. The thought didn't even occur to me. No, I was curious. I was, it was more about,
you know, if you want me to do one, I'll do one. It's all good.
No, it was more about, you know, people who are looking to sign up and buy tickets for this conference. And what can they expect
what
in
can
terms
they
of
expect? Yeah, they can expect good speakers. So, and a variety of stuff as well, because we go across so much. It's a variety. Like last year, we had a guy who did most amazing poems, and, you know, so the fact that he did the poems, the children's writers could actually, you know, use that as well, because it's the whole poetry thing. And then a lot of the adult writers who were watching went, oh, hang on, I can use this, what he was talking about, in normal writing. So just because something says that it's going to be like about poetry doesn't mean that you're not going to get anything out of it as a writer as well. So it's
interesting. Well, congratulations on what you built with the CYA conference. You've really generated something that's obviously in high demand for writers, and they get some real benefit. Two questions. Are tickets still for sale, and where can people go to find out more and buy tickets?
Tickets are still for sale. So tickets are at cyaconference.com. And tickets are for sale. Assessments have to be in by the 15th of May. That's when a lot of them close. Some editors actually do stay open after that. So you would, if you come to the site after the 15th of May, there will still be a couple of editors who will be open. But they normally like 6 weeks to get their work in and have a time to read it and everything, because a lot of them do like the whole day just of assessments. So it's really neat. They need time to do their pre-work. And dip those, and don't ask me prices, because it's I've just gone blank on those. I think
that's fine. People can jump on the website.
Go to the website.
CYAconference.com.
.com. Yep, cyaconference.com. Yep,
so jump on, anyone listening to this, jump on that on the websites.
Bootcamp as well. Bootcamps are there as well. There's still quite a few bootcamps. We just put on a new editors for bootcamps. And when they fill up, then we can actually always, we've got other editors who are just waiting to be asked. They love bootcamps. So they just, and bootcamps, because they're in person, they all want to come to Brisbane. So it's...
Yeah. Well, it's great that you're able to connect writers with editors and agents. You're connecting people. And as you say, who knows, if people pick up an agent because of this connection, you know, that could be starting someone's writing career.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Now, finally, I just wanted to talk to you about your other little project, is it a bit of a leisure project where you've got your...
The leisure project. Not
yes.
Leisurely for me at all.
So you're writers at sea. You've got like writers retreats on cruise ships. Tell us about that.
So this will be our fifth one that we're doing. We started them, and Ali Sinclair, who's a very good friend of mine, her and I were sitting at a romance writers dinner, and we were going, oh, we want to have this on a cruise ship. Oh, I want a cruise ship. Oh, let's do one together. So as you do, and you just decide on the spur of the moment, we're going to have a writers retreat on a cruise ship. And and so that's what we've been doing, and it's they're really magic. So we get together, and in the morning it's either Ellie or myself will do a talk or a workshop about something relevant. Normally we sort of like, we say, okay, this is what we're talking about, but then when we get the work in, we actually look at the people's work beforehand and we go, oh no, we need, you know, this is what's needed with this group, and we change according to what's in the group. Like last year, the group, they needed synopsis help. So it was like, all right, let's do one of these as a synopsis. And so it's quite dynamic in that we change it for the good of what's going on in the group. So in the morning, we have a workshop, then we have a leisurely 2 hours at lunch. And then in the afternoon, we have what we call whirlpool, which is you all write together to the Pomodoro method. You don't have to write with us. You can go write somewhere else, but it's actually fun to do it all together. And then in the evening, we have an early dinner. We're all together. And then after that, you go out and you enjoy the ship, and then you're back the next morning. And we only work on days which we're at sea. So on the days which you're in port, you actually go and you enjoy whatever's going on. We do assessments on the work beforehand, and we do a Zoom on the week building up to the cruise. So we will get on and say, okay, we think this, and we'll talk about what they've given us to read. And so that when they start their first whirlpool, they've got what they need to do, and they need to. And we're there the whole time. If they want us to reread stuff on the cruise, then we just reread it and we just carry on. So it's a working week again, before Harry says it. Yes, it's a tax write-off, Harry.
No, I was going to pitch to see if there was any guest speakers that you needed, because I would be up for that, you know.
Yeah, Addy and I sort of dabbed that place. So we can take up to 20 people, because I think having more than 20 stories in my head of other people's would just be too much. So then we would have to get another person on with us. But yeah, it's so that the biggest we've had so far has been 14. And that was really interesting, having 14 different stories in my head of, you know, other people's stories of trying, you know, and working with those stories for the whole week.
Are these full novels that they're working on?
Most of them are full novels. Some of them are children's books. Some of them work on multiple, like if they're writing picture books, then they will write like multiple picture books they'll work on during the week. Otherwise, like they'll work on like two junior fictions if they want to work on that. But most of them are full on novels that they work on. Yep. Absolutely. So it is.
It's a lot of reading.
It is a lot of reading, and it's a lot. I actually come off the cruise like really exhausted mentally, going, oh, it's over. Sean comes off with a tan because he's, you know, spends the time on the ship.
So do you have do you hire a conference room, or what venue
do you? Yes. So we've had different conference rooms along the way. Yep. Last year, our conference room was actually the nightclub, which they put us in. which was really interesting. It they had the most lovely windows. It was very bright and stuff. It was very nice. But yeah, this year we're back on Royal Caribbean. So we are back in a proper conference room. They have conferencing facilities with chairs and proper tables. And yes, that's a very lovely conferencing facilities there.
So does it vary depending on what cruise you're doing? So say if it's a 6-day cruise, for example, how many days are you said? So depending on days at sea are when you're actually holding the actual rider's retreat.
Yeah, so we generally go 7 or 8 days on the cruise. And then so it's normally 4 days at sea and 3 days visiting places.
So effectively four days would be the workshop and then the retreat time.
Yep. And yeah. And then, of course, it's, you know, on the days off, if you don't want to get off the ship and you want to sit and, you know, do your work. You know, we have published authors who join us who come, they say hello at dinner time and that's all. Or they just often they just write, they use it as a retreat just to write their book. You know, they can sit in the back with their earphones on and use the space with us, or they can just sit wherever they want to sit and they just use it as that. Yeah, it just depends what you're looking for. We had a lady come on our retreat who we saw at the beginning of the retreat and we saw her at the end of the retreat and we never saw her in between. She was so busy loving the ship. And we said to her, you know, what gives? And she went, nope, she just wanted to come on the cruise. So, and she really wanted to just, so she loved it. But yeah, she was. And I said to her, you know, I feel bad taking money. And she went, no, you keep the money. That was my excuse to come on the cruise. So it's like, okay.
It's a really cool concept. So again, congratulations for thinking outside the box and being a bit of an entrepreneur and giving people. I really love the idea of, for me, that's really appealing. It would prompt me to go and do a cruise because you're giving the writers the opportunity to network, but also give them that writing time to get them out of there, extract them out of their life,
yes,
and plonk them on a cruise ship and force them to sit down and do some writing.
And, you know, you would be amazed how much they actually write and how much, you know, I get to write some of the days. When it's Ellie's day, then she'll basically do the stuff in the afternoon. And when it's my day, I do the stuff. So the day that we're basically off, we write as well, which is, and you'd be amazed how much you actually get written when you're just sitting with people, you're writing for 25 minutes, having a 5-minute break, writing for 25 minutes, having a 5-minute break. You get a lot written. So it's, it is good. So,
particularly, yeah. I bet if you've got a drinks package, you'd probably get a lot more written as well. You'd be really loose and carefree, and you know, with a fringe
of candy if you're on the nightclub dance floor.
Is the bar open during the day? In the nightclub?
Bar's open during the day. Yeah, well, it's obviously, you know, it's how much you want to, however much you want to do, you do, or however little you want to do, you do, you know. So it's it is, some people just, you know, really write the whole time. Some people have more of a balance, you know, and then they write and then they go and they, you know, do the evening stuff. And, you know, it is really lovely. But it is the whole concept of taking you out of your house. You don't have to do your washing. You don't have to do your ironing. You don't have to do the dishes. You don't have to cook. So straight away, you've got more time to just focus on your story. And you find, like, even at dinners, you're talking about everybody's story. You know, it's everybody just is interested in everybody else's story. And it's really is nice.
So for people wanting to come on the Writers at Sea retreat, is it for people at different levels of, say, you've written
wherever
your manuscript?
You are, yep. Absolutely. Wherever you are in your writing, if you want to just write a book, then you can say, oh, you know, I want to just plan a book while I'm there. Or, you know, you just tell us what you want to do and then we can help you along. If you've, you know, written this memoir, you can bring it and you can say, all right, I've written this memoir. You know, where do I go from here? Or, you know, if you've written a novel or if you're partway through a novel and, you know, you need some, a little bit of, you know, personal help, then, you know, we're there to help, you know, along from that. So, yeah, it's it's the whole mentoring people through. It's the whole being with published authors. And you never know who else is on the cruise as well. You know, I mean, the one cruise we had mostly published authors there. I think there was like two people who weren't published. Everybody else was published. And it was, you know, those two people were just totally spoiled because they had all this help from everybody, which was just amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Terrific. And so where can people listening, where can they find out about the Writers at Sea retreat?
So writers@sea.com.au.
Cool.
Or you can go on my website as well. There'll be a link on there. So that's tmclark.com.au or on cyaconference.com. There's a link through from there as well because it's part of the CYA group. So
terrific. And we'll be sure to share that information for you as well, Tina.
It's easy for you to say.
It is. It is. And I'm not the one drinking wine. Well, guys, I think we should wrap up. It's been a really engaging chat with you, Tina. So again, T.M. Clark, please check out Tina's books and her conference and her Writers at Sea Writers Retreat and everything else that's going on in her world. So thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your journey. And sounds like you still got a lot. There's a lot more to come. You know.
I hope so. There's I love writing. So yes, hopefully there's lots to come. Thank you very much for having me. Thanks, Jack, and thanks, Harry.
It's been brilliant talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. We'll say goodbye. All the best, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.